The Midrash tells us that Abraham and Sarah had to wait 75 years to have their first child, Sarah's first child, Yitzhak. Yitzhak and Rivka had to wait 20 years until they had their first child. Rachel was barren for 14 years, and Hannah was barren for 19 years. And the Midrash tells us, why did Hashem make that these righteous women should go for so long without children? He says, because Hashem is mit'aveh, Hashem loves the prayers of the righteous. He likes to get close to them, He likes to hear their tefillot. And it's a very big sarah, it's a very big suffering. I mean, we have people get married newly now, they go 3 months without having children, they get scared. It's imagine 75 years, lo aleinu. And the rabbis are telling us, all Hashem wants is the tefillot. Hashem loves the tefillot of these righteous women, and He wants them to pray. The parasha opens up with Yitzchak and Rivka praying for children. And the Torah tells us, Hashem answers, and Rivka becomes pregnant. The pasuk says, "Vayitrotzitzu habanim bekirba." The children are rumbling around inside of her, and she goes, "Batelech ledrosh et Hashem." What's going on over here? So the Or HaChaim says that Rivka was not bothered with the pain of suffering, the suffering of carrying the babies didn't bother her at all. Says the righteous women, that pain doesn't bother them. They know pain is for their best. She says, but you know what was happening? He says the children were pressing up against, he says, she didn't know it was twins yet, but the child was pressing up against it was so congested, she felt like she was going to have a miscarriage. So she says, I'm going to have a miscarriage. So she went, Vatelech ledrosh et Hashem. She said, all these years I'm praying, 20 years I'm praying to have a child, Hashem finally gives me a child, and now chas v'shalom, miscarriage. Vatelech ledrosh et Hashem. She went to find out what's going on. Rabbi Waxman said, you know what it means, Vatelech ledrosh et Hashem? Said, when a suffering comes upon a person, the first reaction has to be, what does God want from me? Vatelech ledrosh et Hashem. Hashem is doing something to me now. I know it's good, but what does Hashem want from me? Vatel, you have to go and see, what does God want? There was once a story with the Chatam Sofer. He was sick. He had to go and to some far out bathhouse to take a steam bath every once in a while. And he used to go with his students. One time he went by himself, and he was very far away. He got there. He was alone. He couldn't get out of the place. The doors were so heavy; they were locked. He couldn't budge. He couldn't budge the doors. And he got very scared, and he starts yelling for help. Somebody help, help, help. Nobody's around. So what did he do? He said he started to think. He says, what does God want from me? It says in the Gemara that somebody who is lax in eulogizing a Torah scholar properly deserves to be buried alive. So that's what's happening to me now. I'm alone, I'm stuck. He started thinking to himself, maybe that's the problem. He said he tried the door again, and it opened. He came back to his town, and he asked them, was there a recent Torah scholar that died that we don't know about, that we didn't eulogize properly? And they said, yes, this guy was a hidden Torah scholar, and nobody eulogized him. He immediately got up and gave a eulogy. But that's the reaction. It was an automatic reaction. It says, if yisurin ba'in, if a person sees that suffering is coming upon him, yifashvesh b'ma'asaf. See, look into your deeds. What does God want from me? There was another story from the Rosh Yeshiva of Porat Yosef. His name is Rabbi Yehuda Sadka. A long time ago, he was newly ordained as a rabbi, and he just got his semicha in Shechita. He was able to slaughter. So he was walking home back to his house, and if you never saw a Shechita knife, it's a big, huge, long knife. Can't walk in public with a big knife like that. But he was hiding it under his jacket like this. So he was on his way home. He had to pass through the Arab quarters. He's walking. A couple of Arabs see him. They say, let's have fun with this Jew. And they were going to go. One guy said, I'm going to go attack him. I'm going to flip him over. So he goes to the rabbi who's walking home. He sticks his hand right onto his coat, and all of a sudden his hand becomes filled with blood. The knife went right into his hand. He starts screaming. He's screaming for help. All of a sudden, all the Arabs come out. The rabbi runs. He runs to the police. He gets saved. They press charges against him. What is this rat? He comes into our quarters. He's trying to kill us. They put him on trial. The judge saw he's a rabbi. He must be innocent. He's not trying to kill anybody. But he imposed a heavy fine on the rabbi. So all the students told the rabbi, Rabbi, why don't you protest? You know, it's not right. The rabbi said, I know exactly why this is happening to me. He said, I stopped a minhag that I was doing today. This very day, I stopped it. He says, Hashem is sending me a message. I'm going to start my minhag again. That's it. The first reaction of the greats is, Hashem is sending me a message. What does God want from me? Batelech lidrosh et Hashem. Rabbi Shalom Shwadron once told the story of an elderly rabbi. He was walking on the street and he fell on the floor. He was sitting there for 30 seconds. People came, Rabbi, could you get up? He said, I'm okay. So how come you're not getting up? He said, Hashem just made me fall. I'm trying to figure out why. I have to think, what did I do? That's their first reaction. Batelech lidrosh et Hashem. What does God want from me? And this is what Rivka was doing. Rivka, she had this, I'm praying for children for so long. I finally get pregnant. What does God want from me? Now he's going to chas v'shalom miscarriage? I have to go see what God wants. And this is what the Gemara means. Ro'eh adam sheyesurin ba'in alav. A person sees that suffering is coming upon him. Yefashvesh v'ma'asav. They have to look into their deeds. The first step, the Gemara says, you have to be a ro'eh. You have to see that suffering is coming upon you. Many people, they like to deny that it's a suffering. A person has trouble with his business, he'll say, the economy is bad. Or he'll say, the merchandise wasn't good. Or my partner wasn't good. All different types of excuses. The rabbis are telling you, you have to be a ro'eh. It's not your partner. It's not the merchandise. It's not the economy. It's one thing. It's only Hashem. You have to be a ro'eh. Let me see first. Okay, I know. Hashem is doing this to me. Let me see now. What do I have to change? What should I do? That has to be the first reaction. We have to recognize it's Yad Hashem. And when someone thinks like this, their whole life is changed. On a daily basis, everything is God. What does God want now? What does God want from me? It's all, they're living with Hashem. Person has this attitude, they could pass all of their tests. We read in the Tefillah every morning, the Pasuk in Tehillim that says, Dishu Hashem ve'uzo, bakeshu panav tamid. You have to constantly be seeking God. Bakeshu panav tamid. Always look, what does God want? And it's not only when it comes to trouble. Kol sheken, when a person has good in their life, when a person is blessed, you have to say, what is God doing this to me for? What did I deserve? He wants me to thank Him. He wants me to be full of joy, of all the blessing that I have, not to look at the negative. He wants me to be happy with what I have. Always think in your mind, why is God doing this? What is He giving me all this for? Chazal tell us, every single breath of life, akol neshima o neshima, every single breath, the person has to say, thank you, Hashem, thank you. Thank you for this, thank you for today, thank you for letting me wake up. To live with Hashem always, and this is a source of blessing. This alone, that you're recognizing everything is coming from God, is a source of beracha. The Pasuk says in the Torah, V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael. And the Shelah HaKadosh writes, this is the source for people to say, Be'ezrat Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Im Yetzer Hashem. Always mentioning Hashem. Why are they mentioning Hashem's name all the time? Because of this Pasuk. V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael. Hashem says, put my name in the mouths of the Jewish people. I want them to always talk about me. With the help of God. How's everything? Thank God. How you doing? Baruch Hashem. This is the source, V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael. And this pasuk is written right next to the Birkat Kohanim. Kohanim bless the people every day, and they give the people a Biracha from Hashem. The Baal HaKedah explains, he says, who merits to receive this blessing that the Kohanim say every day? Who merits to receive this blessing and bring it into fruition? It says in another Pasuk, Harhev Picha Va'amalehu. Hashem says, open your mouth wide and I will stuff it. Meaning, you want the blessing? Just open your mouth. The bigger you open your mouth, the more I'll stuff you with blessing. So what does that mean? Open. How do I open my mouth? With what? He says, with this. The more you open your mouth and say, Baruch Hashem, Be'ezrat Hashem, Yetzer Hashem, everything Hashem, 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 so you recognize it's from me, I'm going to give you it. And that's what the Pasuk means. It says, V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael. If you have my name in your mouth all the time, what does the end of the Pasuk say? Va'ani avarechem. Very good. Va'ani avarechem. And now I will bless you. Because of this zichut that you're constantly recognizing, Hashem, Hashem, we're not looking for outside factors. We know it's handpicked by God. And that's what the Kohanim say. The Kohanim say, Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha. Recognizing that it's coming from Hashem. This is one explanation of what Rivka was doing. She felt the suffering. She said, what does God want from me? The Or HaChaim himself gives another explanation. He says, you know what Rivka was doing? She felt the suffering. Vatelech ledrosh et Hashem means she went to pray. She went to pray because that is supposed to be the natural reaction when something is happening in your life. Besides the Gemara saying to analyze your deeds, you have to go and pray harder. There's a famous question people often ask when it comes to bitachon. They say, I don't understand. If everything that God does is for my best, so why should I pray to get rid of it? It's for my best. I should just enjoy it and move on. What am I praying to get rid of it for? Rivka should say, if Hashem feels that I should have a miscarriage, so be it. Why should I pray? And I saw, there's many answers to this question. I saw the other day an answer from Rabbi Pinkus, Alav HaShalom. And he quotes a mizmor from Tehillim. Very interesting mizmor. It says in the Tehillim, Mizmor leDavid beborcho mipnei Avshalom beno. It's the third chapter in Tehillim. David says, I'm singing a song to God because I'm running away from my son. His son was coming to kill him. And David starts saying, Mizmor, I'm singing a song. So the Gemara asks, why are you singing a song? You should be crying. Your son is coming to kill you and you're singing a song. It should say, Kina le David, the Gemara asks. Furthermore, the next pasuk says, Marabu Sarai. David says, oh, how great are my troubles. It says, make up your mind, David. If it's a song, if it's Mizmor le David, so then why are you saying, Marabu Sarai? Why are you saying that I have troubles? As much as you think it's good, why are you mentioning your troubles? That's the second question. So the rabbi says, of course David HaMelech knows everything is Me'et Hashem, it's all good. So David is singing. In life, it's all a song. It's one big song, says David HaMelech. Mizmor le David. On the other hand, Hashem created us with natural feelings that when things are not going the way we like, we feel bad. It's natural. Why did Hashem create us with those feelings? Because Hashem wants us to do something about it. He wants you to recognize that it is a suffering and do something about it. If the person would just say, you know, everything is terrible, but it's okay, you know, pass the ketchup. That's not what God wants. He wants you to recognize that it's a suffering. Of course it's going to be good, but you have to first recognize it. And he says, David HaMelech knew it's going to work out great. Mizmor le David, my son's chasing me, I have nothing to worry about. But Marabu Sarai, this is a tragedy, and I have to do something, I have to pray. If you recognize that Hashem is sending you this suffering, and you pray, 100% you'll see the good, 1000%. Hashem is maybe sending it to strengthen the relationship, He wants you to pray harder, He's sending it for a reason, it's definitely for my good. But I have to act upon it. And that's the lesson. Similarly, he says, Rabbi Pinkus continues, he says, if a doctor would come, you go for a routine checkup, the doctor sees something he doesn't like, he says, you have to come back tomorrow for a scan. So a person could get very depressed. They'll get all sad and down and mope the whole night. That's definitely not the answer. You're not supposed to do that. On the other hand, he's supposed to say, it's good. We can't just ignore the fact that Hashem sent you something. Your attitude has to be, it definitely is going to work out great. 100%, I'm not scared. But he says, but while you're praying for it, you have to take action. You have to pray to be healed. And while you're praying, you have to picture in your mind, it's the worst thing. You have to picture like, Chas v'Shalom, it's the worst thing, and I need to get out of it. Knowing at the same time, it's going to be good. It's very difficult. Because you have to balance. You know, on one hand, Hashem is great. He's doing it for my good. On the other hand, you have to realize it's a suffering in order for you to take action. He wants a stronger relationship. He wants something from you. And that's the answer. That's the second explanation of what Rivka was doing. Rivka says, of course, I'm not scared. Hashem is going to, the child's going to come out fine. But Batilch, I have to recognize God is causing me the suffering. Feels like a miscarriage. Let me go do something about it. Let me go pray. Knowing the whole time it's going to work out in the end to be good. The parasha continues and discusses the birth. She had twins, Esav and Yaakov, and the Torah describes their characters. The Torah says that Esav was an Ish Sadeh, Yaakov was an Ish Tam. He was an Ish Tam, Yoshev Ohalim, the Torah describes him as. He was a wholesome man, a dweller of tents. What does this mean? So the Zohar says, you know what an Ish Tam means? It means an Adam Shalem. He was a complete human being. The Shelah Kadosh writes, Yaakov was complete in Midot. He was the full package. He had all the beautiful midot that a person is supposed to have. The Zohar writes even further. He was even Nishlam more than Abraham Avinu. He reached the highest levels. The Midrash asked the question. Said, why was Yaakov cooking the lentil soup? Doesn't he have... Yitzchak was a very wealthy man. I'm sure Yitzchak had many servants. Why was Yaakov cooking? The Midrash says, to teach us, the Torah is teaching us about the anava of Yaakov, the humility. So Yaakov came back early in the morning from the Beit Midrash. He was studying all night. He came back and wanted to make this soup, and all the slaves were still sleeping. Yaakov said, I'm not going to wake them up. Even though they work for me, they're my slave, I'm not going to wake them up. Hazit, let them sleep, and I'm going to go myself and cook the soup. The Torah wants to teach us the humility of Yaakov. Yaakov, the rabbis teach us the source to all the greatness of any rabbi that we have in this religion all comes from their midot first. They have good character. Good character will lead to excellent performance in religion. Rabbi Elia Lopian, he asked a very strong question, powerful question in last week's parasha. Brings out this point beautifully. He says that Abraham was looking for a wife for Yitzchak. Abraham trusted Eliezer with everything. Moshel bechol ashelo. He trusted Eliezer with his whole household, but when it came to find a wife, he told him, you have to swear to me. Swear that you will not take a woman from Canaan. He made him, I don't trust you on this. You must swear. And he filled Eliezer with pachad, with fear. Eliezer was scared now. My master doesn't trust me. He goes to find a wife. And what does he ask for? What's his sign to find? He's looking for the mother of Klal Yisrael now. What does he look? Let me see if she's a Ba'alat Chesed. Hashem, send me a sign. If she does kind acts, then I know she's for Yitzchak. Ask Rabbi Elia Lopian. He says, I don't understand. She's going to be the mother of Klal Yisrael. She's going to be the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah, the Nevi'im, everything. Don't you care about her Yirat Shamayim? Don't you care about her upbringing? She grew up with a bunch of idol worshippers. Don't you care how much she loves God? Why are you only asking about her Midot, her Chesed? How come that's the only criteria necessary for the marriage? I want to read you the rabbi's answer. I want to read you his words. He writes, Mikol ze lamanu, from this we're forced to say, He said, Yisod Gadol V'Chidush Nifla. He said, I'm about to tell you an amazing Chidush. Asher Lav Kol Moches Avilda. The brain is not going, you're not going to fathom this. Aval Ken Hu HaEmet. This is the truth. What I'm about to tell you is Emet. It's a big Chidush, but it's the truth. What's the answer? De'av ki hayirah hi ha'ikar ba'avodat ha'adam. Of course, fear of God is everything. That's our life, fear of Hashem. As Hashem told Abraham Avinu, after Abraham passed all 10 tests, he was Amad Bekulan, he reached the highest level that a human being could reach. What does God tell him? Ata yadati ki yireh Elohim ata. That's the highest level you could reach. A person who has the title, you fear God. He says, Mikol Makom. However, Yesh lanu leda. We have to know this for a fact. Ki adam sheyesh bo adinut hanefesh. A person umidot tovot. A person who has good midot. Af ki omed b'matzav she'adayin lo kana hayirah. He doesn't know anything about God yet. He did not acquire the fear of God, but he has good midot. Im yagia lehakarat bechiyuv yirat shamayim. Once you teach him about Yirat Shamayim, Yirdof Ahareha V'Yasigena Benakel. Once you teach them about religion, it'll be nothing for them. It'll be so easy. Ki mi sheyesh lo midot tovot, someone who has a good character, yesh bo hayisod, he has the foundation, libnot et atzmo, to build himself, ulagia lechol hamadregot hayotena, to reach the highest levels. What do you need? Good midot. And then he writes, Mashe enken, however, hamushchat b'midot. Someone who has bad midot. Cholera ahi. It's a terrible sickness. And he says, v'kol zeman shamidot, so long as the bad midot are controlling the person, all of his avodah and Hashem is for nothing. Strong words. The only necessary, criteria for Rivka, that she had good midot. Once you have good midot, Yirat Shamayim, you'll get in a minute. He quotes on the bottom over here, also the same strong words from Rav Chaim Vital. I want to read you the same. He says over here like this. Ulefikach inyan hamidot haraot, he says, kashim mina averot. That's when a person who has bad character is worse than sinning itself. And now you'll understand the Gemara. The Gemara says, anyone who gets angry, it's as if they worship idols. Anyone who has gasut haruach, anyone who's hori, kekofer ba'ikar, it's like the worst sin, it's like denying God. And this person will not come back, lo aleinu petechiyat hametim. Ki lihiyotam ikarim v'yesodot. He says, midot are so fundamental, they're not even listed as part of the Tayyag Mitzvot because they come before the Mitzvot. You can't do the Mitzvot without good Midot, as we know the famous statement, Derech Eretz Kadma La Torah. Without Derech Eretz, you can't, the Torah is not going to help. Nimsa, he writes, Ki Yoter Sarich Lizaher Mimidot Haraot. It's more important for a person to be careful from bad Midot. Yoter Min Kiyum Mitzvot Aseh Velot Aseh. You have to be more vigilant in fighting bad midot than from staying away from sin. Why? Same exact thing. Ki bi yohoto baal midot tovot. Because if you have good midot, banakel yekayem komaze, you'll be able to mimikayem all the mitzvot like nothing. And now you'll understand also, amazing statement from Chazal. It says, ha'anava, someone who's humble, v'hashiflut mevi'in lidei ruach ha'kodesh. He'll reach the level of ruach ha'kodesh and the shechinah will come. It doesn't say that about other mitzvot. It doesn't say by a regular mitzvah the shechinah will rest on you. Another statement says, who's a ben olam haba? Someone who's shefal barech v'anvatan. He's a humble man, a humble lady. V'ka'ele rabo, he says, these statements are all over the place. V'sim enecha ledivrei elu. Pay very close attention to these words and you'll be successful in life. And he says, on the other hand, someone who has baal midot ra'ot, kashe lo, it's very hard for them to be mekayem the Torah. And even if they fulfill the Torah, they're going to do it shelo lishma. Listen to my words, strengthen your midot. It's mind-boggling that how important good midot are in this to fulfill the Torah. What is the connection between good midot and following the Torah? Why do they go one after the other? If you have good midot, you'll mekayem all the mitzvot. Bad midot, you won't. What's the connection? So what does it mean to have good midot? Rabbi Waxman once said, you have, there's different rulers in the world. You can have someone, they rule over their household. The man of the house, I rule my house. You have other people, they rule over their business. They rule over a lot of people. They're rulers, they control. You have other people, they rule over a city. They control a whole city. It says in Chazal, Tov Moshel Beruach Miloked Ir. Greater is a person who could rule over himself than someone who could conquer a city. You know what you have to be a ruler? Someone who could control themselves. Baal Midot Tovot means you have full rulership over yourself. And when people have no control over themselves, all bad Midot come out of that. When something doesn't go their way, outburst. When someone rubs them the wrong way, another outburst. No control. No control over yourself. We have to know we're made up of two materials. We are made up of a goof, of a body. The body is called by the rabbis like an animal. We're part animal. And then we're part God. Godly. We have a neshama. We're part soul. Our job in life is for our soul part, for our spiritual part, to overcome our animalistic part. The general rule is, whatever a person reacts with their gut reaction, it's usually the animalistic, it's the animal inside of us talking. Your gut reaction. You see somebody, there's traffic on the road, it's getting out of hand, and people just start banging on the horn like a maniac. The person has no control. No control over himself. Whatever I feel, I do. Could see somebody get up in public, even in private, but get up and start yelling in the middle of it, make a scene. There's no control. Where is your... You have no control over yourself. You can't control yourself. Person goes to a place where they're serving food. We have a desire for food. Our animal inside of us desires food. People go and they start grabbing all the good food before everyone else gets there. Or whatever. No control. Where's the control? Control yourself. You could have people being Doresh as a public speaker. And there's two people in the crowd talking to each other the whole time. Where is your self-control? You have no control over yourself. Where's Derech Eretz? Someone has a problem. And they walk into the room with a sour face. That means they're not in control over them. Because the rabbis tell us our face is a public domain. Things inside of you are bothering you, keep it inside. But to go out and bring everyone else's day down with you, that's not the proper way. You have to control yourself. Always smile, look nice, be happy. Someone gives a person a gift. Person can say, you get a birthday present. You have the birthday parties, the family parties. Someone gives you a gift. The guy, you like it? Yeah, it's okay. Person has no control. Okay. You know what you have to think? You know what this person just did? They took a whole hour out of their life. They went to the store. They bought this. And all they care about is my reaction. Who cares about the gift? The animal inside of us tells me, but I wanted something good. But the soul inside of us tells us, all you care about is how to make them feel. I know a person, you could give them a bag of garbage and they'll make you feel like $1 million. And wow, I love it. I never saw anything like it. Unbelievable. So that person is in total control of themselves. I don't care. I'll throw it in the garbage. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is how I'm going to make this person feel now. The person, the same person, they're having the worst day. Problems. They see, hey, how are you? It's so nice to see you. Nothing is wrong. They're in full control of themselves. That is what it means to be a Baal Midot Tovot. You have total control over your animalistic part. There are many levels in this area. The pasuk says, "Al ken yomeru hamoshelim bo'u cheshbon." Pasuk in the Torah, and the Chazal adoresh on this pasuk. The ones who are moshlim biyitzram, the ones who have control over themselves. This says, "Bo'u v'nachshov cheshbono shel olam." You have to be a person. You know who has control over themselves? The ones who are constantly making cheshbon. They're thinking. They constantly be thinking. You have to be a baal machshava, making calculations. You have to overcome yourself. It's not going to be natural. None of this is natural. Natural is to just whatever's bothering me, I just tell everybody. That's all natural. You have to be a deep thinker. You have to use strategies for this. Rivka was the biggest baal chesed. That's what he's looking for in Rivka. Baal chesed. You know what? There's no end to what type of chesed a person could do. And Hashem pays reward for every single, as difficult as it is. You know, the altar from Kelim points out, he says, it's very normal. Let's say Rivka would have told Eliezer, of course I'll give you to drink. But the camels, the Torah says he had slaves with him. Eliezer had a bunch of slaves with him. She could have easily said, Eliezer, he has as much water as you want, let the servants feed the camels. Anything wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. But let's say she stopped right there. That's it, finished. She's not the mother of Klal Yisrael. No Rivka, no Imahot. We have to go to the deepest level. As hard as it is, you have to try your hardest to continue conquering yourself. The Chazon Ish says, all bad midot come from the same place. His words are, Haznahat hahayim lezerem hativi. Just doing whatever comes naturally. But if you do what comes naturally, that's bad midot. Someone blocks your car, you're all upset, you start run out and yell at them. That's naturally. That's haznachat hachayim lezerem hativi. And all good midot means stopping your natural reaction. That's it. Very simple. If you worked on one midah, you worked on all midot. It's very simple. Don't let things go naturally. Bar Waxman once told the story of a guy who was in the mountains shopping for Shabbat. Said there was a grocery store. The guy was in the refrigerator section. They had homemade things in there. He was buying for Shabbat. He says, all different types of sauces and food. And the guy's carrying, he's keep piling on thing after thing. He's carrying 100 things. The guy's trying to close the door. It slips and the whole thing falls all over the place. Splat. Bunch of everything fell and broke. Says the guy, looks this way, looks that way. Nobody sees. He walked right out the store. Says, he's just, whatever comes natural. Nobody saw. Move on. That's what we're capable of. Because that's what the animal part says. The Baal Shem Tov says, the worst midah of all is selfishness. I want. I need. He says, how dare they do that to me? No, me? Do that to me? How could they not invite me? Me. The selfishness is the root of all bad midot. He brings a pasuk. The pasuk says, Anochi omed ben Hashem uben Echem. Literally, it's Moshe telling the Jewish people, I am standing between you and God. He says, we could read it differently. Anochi, when a person says I all the time, it's all about me, that's omed ben Hashem ben Echem. That is what puts up a barrier between you and Hashem. It's the Anochi. I want this, but Hashem wants this. A person who has good midot has total control over themselves and could do the mitzvot with ease. You know why? Now we have the answer. Because mitzvot are the same thing. It's all about self-control. I have a desire to eat this now. I want it. That's what your animal part is saying. But when a person says, but your neshama is screaming out, don't eat it, it's not good for you. It's not going to help you in the long run. A person who could control themselves and midot, could do the mitzvot like this, simple, it's the same thing. I have full control over myself. person says, should I say this? Shouldn't I say this? They have a question, Lashon Hara. I want to tell them so badly. That's what my body wants to do. But my neshama says, don't do it. Have control. I'll shut my mouth. Control. I want to watch this now, but it's not good for me. Control. The mitzvot are, it's the same thing. If a person has good midot, they're able to control themselves in this area, they could control themselves with the Torah as well. And Hashem is constantly testing us. Every situation in life, every day, whether it's with midot, whether it's in other areas. And the tzaddikim are in total control. They conquer this, they conquer this. Whatever, whether it's midot, whether it's mitzvot, the tzaddikim are total control of themselves. And it appears, one might say, that's a hard life, you know? Always controlling, self-control, it's too hard. But the Baal Midot Tovot and the tzaddikim, they're always rejoicing. It seems hard. When a person the person with good midot, they're always happy. They're not sad. When they overcome them this and they make the other person feel special, they feel so good inside. It feels great for them. The tzaddikim, when they're controlling themselves in this world, they know they're doing the right thing. That alone is the greatest joy. I know I'm doing the right thing. I know this. I'm 100%. I'm on the right path. That brings inner joy. On the other hand, it appears to us that the wicked or the people that are indulging in this world, it appears that they're having fun, they're enjoying. But Chazal tell us that the Rishaim are going to be Malei Charata. They're going to be filled with regret. All of this is nothing. On that final day, it's going to be total regret. We see it in this week's parasha. Pasuk tells us, Esav came home from the field and he was tired. The Midrash says he just committed 5 cardinal sins. He did the worst sins. Gilui arayot, shefichut damim. He did the worst sins. He comes in and he tells Yaakov, Hal iteni na min ha'adom ha'adom. Give me some of this red stuff. Esav was reckless. He had no midot, Esav. He comes into a house of mourning. Abraham, the Gadol Hador just died. Imagine Abraham Avinu just died. The house is all people sitting on the floor in the house. Esav comes in from the field. He goes straight to the soup. And he says, give me some of that red stuff. And the Midrash says, he told Yaakov, just pour it. He opened his mouth as big as a camel, the Midrash says. And he said, just pour it down my throat. Don't give me a bowl even. Just give it to me. Yaakov looked at him and Yaakov said, this guy is going to be the Bechor. He's going to bring the korbanot on behalf of the family. He's going to be the spiritual leader of our family. I can't let this happen. So Yaakov said, Esav, I'd love to give it to you. I made it for my father. I have a mitzvah, kibud av va'em. I want to give it to my father now. If you wait another 10 minutes, I'll make you another bowl. Or, he says, if you want, if you give me the rights to the bechor, which is a mitzvah in its own right, I'm allowed to trade a mitzvah for a mitzvah. So you give me this, you have the bechor rights now, you have the eligibility to be the bechor. Give it to me, sell it to me for this soup, and we'll trade mitzvah for mitzvah. What did Esav say? Esav started making fun of it. Vayivez Esav bechora, who cares about that? Religion? Get out of here. You want it? Take it. Just give me the soup. Esav made fun of the bechora. We read a little later, the Stipler points out, when Yaakov ended up getting the blessings from his father Yitzchak, and Esav comes in and he found out what happened, what does Esav say? Vayakeveni ze pa'amayim. What kind of trickster? He stole it from me. He stole the Bechora. Esav, you don't care about this. What do you care about the Bechora? Oh, that was only while he had the desire, while he wanted the soup. I don't care about that garbage. But once the desire is finished, I want it. Of course I want it. Give me the blessings. Give me the berachah. And once he found out that he's not getting it anymore, the pasuk says, "Vayizak ze'aka gedola umara ad me'od." 5 descriptions to describe Esav's yell. He yelled at the top of his lungs. And Rabbeinu Bachya says, this is hinting to us that anyone who got sucked into this world, the pleasure of this world, they traded Olam Abba for Olam Hazeh. Esav traded it for a bowl of soup, he's going to be filled with remorse. He's going to scream at the top of his lungs. So it looks like the people that indulge are enjoying, it's all going to be regret. You know, you go to a person, tell them about religion, baloney, who needs that? Una, give me this. Because they're still involved in the desire now. Now, because if I do religion, I can't do this. But once the desire is gone, it's over. Of course I want religion. Why not? Why not? But it's too late. At that moment, it's too late. Esav, the wicked Esav, traded his bechora for nothing, and at the end was full of regret. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us that at the end of days, God is going to slaughter the Yetzer Hara. We're going to have no more desires for anything. It's going to be, everything's going to be easy. It says, and the Sadiqim are going to look at that Yetzer Hara, and they're going to see, wow, look like a mountain, this thing. This is very hard. How do we overcome this? Because it looks hard. In this world, it looks very hard. He says, and the Rishayim are going to look at it, and it's going to look to them like a little hair, like a nothing. They said, that's it? We couldn't overcome that? Come on, give us another chance. It's too late. It's too late. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that we see in the Tanakh how the people used to worship Avodah Zarah left and right. Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah. We look at Avodah, we laugh at it. What interest do you have in bowing down to stones? And the Gemara says, you know why? Because God removed the evil inclination for Avodah Zarah. You don't have it anymore. So it looks pathetic. That's what it's going to be like with everything. We're going to say, what? I fell for this? How could I fall for this? This is not interesting. I don't need, who needs this? Give me spirituality. Shemitah, that's too late. But the people who control themselves in this world, whether it's with midot, whether it's mitzvot, they're only going to gain. They're never going to regret. A person who follows Hashem will never regret anything in life. Hashem rewards people in this world and the next world. When Abraham Avinu had a test. When he won the war, the four kings against the five kings. Abraham went afterwards to fight the four kings, and the Melech Sedom came to him and he said, Abraham, you did a good job, we won the war, you take the money, you deserve the money. Abraham, the rabbi tells us, it was a test. Abraham was supposed to say no, but it was a test. And Abraham told him, Imihut va'adzeroch na'al, from a thread to a strap, I will not take a penny from you. And the rabbis tell us, in that merit that he passed the test, Hashem gave the Jewish people two great mitzvot. Because he said a thread, we got the mitzvah of tzitzit, of talet. Because he said a strap, we got the mitzvah of tefillin. So Rabbi Waxman once said, he says, look at this. For one test, you know what Abraham got? For thousands of years, people will be putting on talet and tefillin every day of their life. And Abraham gets the reward for everybody. For one thing, controlling himself in one area. God's payment is endless. Work for God, you can't lose. Hashem even pays the animals. It tells us that when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, it says the dogs didn't bark. You know what Hashem did for them? For the rest of the dog's life, for all of eternity, the dog will never starve. Hashem says in the Torah, I guarantee you will always have what to eat. It says anyone, any Jewish people who have food that's not, they're not able to eat, lakelev tashlichun oto, throw it to the dogs. Look at the reward for following Hashem, for doing the right thing. And if Hashem would repay the dogs for holding their mouth back, imagine if a person had a test, should I say the Lashon Hara, shouldn't, and they close their mouth. If that's the reward, lifetime parnasa for all of history, for the dog closing his mouth for 1 second, imagine if a person would close their mouth and stop themselves from one test. The Pasuk says, Batishak liyom aharon. Who's going to be laughing in the end? The people who fought themselves in this world. The people who controlled themselves. The people who had good midot. Sometimes you're involved in an argument with somebody. And you're arguing back and you think, my whole goal now is to get my point across. I want to show them that I'm right. Meanwhile, all God wants from you is to give in. All He's testing your midot. He's testing you. He's testing your pride. He's testing your humility. This has to be our attitude to everything in life. What does God want from me? God is testing me. But I have to know, if I control myself, if I allow my soul to take over, whether it's in midot, whether it's in mitzvot, I will only win. We will never, God forbid, have that regretting, that feeling of remorse that Esav, lo aleinu, had. Hashem should give us the strength to constantly conquer ourselves, to grow mechayil el chayil, and to recognize Hashem's presence in this world. Amen.